Well, welcome back. Today we're going to talk about using basically the same kind of process to define your own personal values. Now, knowing your own personal values is important for several reasons. It's a famous quote, and I don't know exactly who originally said it, but if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so what do you stand for as an individual? What do you stand for somebody who's a follower of Jesus Christ? What are those things that you're committed to? Now, your value system, you know, will hopefully be informed by the scriptures, and so I'm assuming that. And so I won't be quoting scripture a whole lot as we talk about discovering your own personal values. But the values are important in that they define how you act, as well as what you believe. For instance, your value system will change your behavior. In other words, if you choose as your value, one of my values is going to be personal health. Well, that can be your value. But how does that relate to your desire for comfort? You can say, my value is to be a healthy, physically robust person. And then if you sit on the couch all day, you watch TV, eat whatever, you do a lot of snacking and that sort of thing, you don't get any exercise, then that's not really your value. And some people, I read this past week, one man as I was preparing this lecture, who at the age of 22 was first given this idea of a value system that he would live by. And so he began to say, what do I want to be as aspiration of value? What do I am now? What do I want to be? And he determined, especially because of family health history with heart disease and that sort of thing, among his uncles, his aunts, and even his father, that he was going to be healthy. And so he immediately began to do an exercise program that he kept up regularly. He began to watch what he ate. But that behavior came out of a value system. Now, I'm the last person to say that we don't ever compromise our values. We do. That's what sin is. But our core values are those things we're committed to and willing to work at, and the ones that define our behavior. Knowing your values helps you in making decisions. If you are trying to make decisions and you've got this choice or that choice, well, what is your value? I'm working with a young couple right now, and one of their values is family. And they have three lovely children, and yet they live far away from their families of origin. And so, unfortunately, their families of origin live in two different places in the United States. And so they're trying to figure out, how do we live out this value of family engagement on a broader scale than just our three children? And so they're making a decision that they're probably going to move in the next year toward one of the families, just because they want that broader connection with cousins and with uncles and aunts, and they want their kids to grow up in that kind of atmosphere. And so that value is helping them make that decision, whereas they were relatively happy where they were, but now they have it come into this discussion, largely because of the death of one of their parents, about what does it mean to have values of family. And so it's helping them in their decision making. Now, values can help you in your decision-making. If you're purchasing a car, you're purchasing a home, what kind of value do you put on that? Is that going to be a functional place, or is it going to be a place of beauty? If you're in a church, the value system that you have will affect your behavior. We talked about that last time as we talked about defining the values of an organization. But you can tell when you do the culture walk, what is the value, what did they decide to do when they got this space? What did they decide to do when they had this opportunity to go into this mission or that mission? What's important to them in that regard? And so often, if you're in a church or organization, it's very helpful to come back to your value statement. What do we value? Well, that'll help us. We have an opportunity to give an increased amount into this particular thing. What shall we do? This is vitally important. A good friend of mine pastored a church that was had a large budget. They had gone through a relocation at one point in their history, where you'll meet him at some point in this, if you haven't already, in this presentation, where the church they were in was growing too small, the building, and so they bought property and they moved the church. And the idea was that that was going to be phase one of a multi-phase building process. And it came time that relocation stuff was paid for, and now it was time to make a decision about what was going to be the next step for them. And so they began to go through that process of defining architecturally what should we build. And at that same time, my dear friend began to think through the implications of putting more money into buildings. In the United States, we put billions of dollars into facilities, and yet we see churches numerically declining rapidly. And so that hasn't been a solution. And he began to think about Jesus' call to the poor. And so he came to his elders as a part of his own personal value change. Came to his elders and said, you know, I think we've got to look at this again. And together they struggled through that for a period of time, and they came to a conclusion that they weren't going to do any more building. And instead of that $300,000 a year that they had set aside for servicing the loan that had paid off their building, they were now going to commit that to missions. They were going to commit that to missions that were like the ones that they had as a congregation. So they had a value of going to places in the world and sending people from the church there so that they could get engaged in mission. And it was a huge cultural shift for them, but it came out of a value. And the value helped determine their behavior. It helped in them making a decision about what should we do with this money, with this budget this year. And your value system, your own personal value system, also helps in your fit with the culture. Do you fit with this particular congregation, or are you going to have to adjust your particular values in order to fit with the congregation? Dealing with a congregation in this vicinity, in this region of the country, it was a small church that had been through a rough time. A pastor had left, and it had been a difficult departure. And so they called a new pastor, and it was an exciting time to start again. And they all agreed on the value that they wanted that church to grow. They all agreed on the value that they wanted to make an impact in that community. But when it came right down to it, they had an entirely different value system as far as how is that to be accomplished. The people in the church had a high value on being an attractional ministry. In other words, the idea was that they were going to do things to get people in the building, and that's where they would reach them and touch them. And so they put a lot of energy and effort and money and resources into making that Sunday worship experience a fantastic one. The new pastor that came had an entirely different value system. He wanted to make the church be missional. In other words, not inviting the people to come in to be impacted, but sending the church out. And so he had this vision of a series of small groups that would meet in various places of the little city in which that church existed. And each group was going to adopt a mission within that community, as well as encouraging each other to spiritual growth. And so they were trying to mesh these two powerfully different values, and it just didn't work. And so within 1 year, the pastor had to leave. And so determining your own value system will help you determine what questions to ask if you're going into a new church situation, if you're going to be invited to be part of a ministry. Can you fit there? Can you operate there well? I once had a call to a church that was very, very high church. In other words, I wore a sport coat that day and a tie. Now I wouldn't do that anymore, but that then I thought I was dressing up. And one of the questions the elders asked me when I met with them is, why didn't you wear a suit? I thought, wait a minute. I don't think this is going to be a place I'm going to fit well if that is the cultural value. And as I began to talk to people, I realized that indeed was the case. And so, how do you go about making your own set of values to determine how you, as a leader, since this involves you as a leader with all your strengths and weaknesses, what do your values look like? Start as a beginner. You know, you may have done this before, but try to throw all that out and say, okay, I'm starting from scratch. What is really important to me? And then create a list. On that list can be high points, things really went well for you, when there was great success, when you felt a sense of fulfillment, when you felt really good. Make a list of those moments. What is your code of conduct? In other words, how, when you put your life together What are those things you say, this is how I'm going to live? What's most important to who I am? And so write those things down. And then you can also write down low points and say, okay, when I failed, what happened there? What would be the opposite of that kind of experience? Now, I gave you this list earlier when we were talking about another subject, but here are just some lists of values. You can find value lists online. Some of them are up to 400, I think, different value systems. But do you value your health? Do you value financial security? That's a biggie. If you're not willing to risk everything for Jesus Christ, you'll find it limited, your service limited to those places that can afford you. And so is that your value system? Are possessions your value system? Is free time your value system? Is family life your value system? You know, I shared with you my son-in-law made a decision based on his commitment to his family that he wanted this flexible kind of experience. My other son-in-law was offered a job, and he said, well, these are the hours I can be here because I've got three children. I'm committed to being a father to them and spending time with them. And so he said, I can't fit here unless you are going to endorse that. And so I will do overtime, but I won't do it all the time. And in other words, I'm not going to sacrifice myself in order to get ahead in your company. And they accepted him, and he since has gone to part-time as my daughter went full-time. He went back to part-time so that the family at this stage with young children could be a fulfilling experience for the kids, and they would have a parent available to them. Those kind of decisions help that his value is family. Is my value system friends? Are friends important to me? Is that how I'm going to commit my time and my energy? Now, for some people who've had friends for a long, long time, you know, that's very, very true, that they can become an important part of your value system and that I want to minister to them or I want to minister with them. Frugality, I put that one on there just because that tends to be part of my heritage. I'm a Northern European in background a couple of generations ago. And in my... I come from a Dutch background, actually. My grandparents immigrated here way back when, before the turn of the 20th century. And in my Dutch background, I found out that there's a legend among the Navajo. Our church, our congregation and denomination has had a great involvement in ministry in among the Navajo people. And so when I was involved with denominational ministry quite a bit, I got a friend, developed a friendship with this Navajo Indian. And he said, well, he says, you know what we say about you folks? We say that, you know, when the Grand Canyon was created, we know how it was created. And I said, well, how was the Grand Canyon created? And he said, well, a Dutch miner dropped a nickel and went digging for it. So, yeah, frugality. That tends to be one of my values. It's not one I like. It's one that I occasionally will have to balance with my generosity. But I tend to be frugal in how I spend money. Generosity, like I say, those two seem to be diametrically opposed, but they don't have to be. Justice. Am I committed to justice in the world? Right now in the United States, we are in a time of great upheaval socially. Am I committed to justice in those situations? Am I committed to justice? There's a ministry called AGM, something Justice Mission, where their job is to go around the world and find injustices and correct it. And what does that do for you? Are you committed to seeing that the poor are getting a fair shake, that it's not just the rich getting ahead? Is order, having things in order, of value to you? You don't like chaos. You don't like messy situations. Is learning a value to you? And what does that look like? Is happiness a value to you? Probably is. In the United States, of course, we're guaranteed, you know, that we are able to pursue happiness. That's one of our national values. Some people will give up happiness in order to do something of greater importance. One of the men I admire greatly was a president of a college here in the United States. And his wife became sick. It was a debilitating and was going to be a terminal illness. And so he quit his job in order to care for his wife over those last years of her earthly life. And as a result, he set up a value system that's really quite, it wasn't about his happiness. He was about his commitment to his wife. He realized his value was, I have a commitment to this woman that will supersede anything I'm getting in the professional world. Now, that wasn't a happiness choice. It was a relationship choice. That's the next one. Are you committed to growth in your capacity, in your skill, in your character? Are you committed to truth? What about wealth? Is church part of your commitment? Now, there are many people who say that. That's a fascinating thing to me, that I've had people say that to me, and I know that they're part of the church only occasionally in worship service and not involved in anything else. But for you, is that a value system that you're committed to the church as what Bill Hybels called the last hope on earth, the last hope for the earth? Committed to church as the instrument that God is going to use to bring about his kingdom and build his kingdom here. It's peace of mind. The security of value for you. That's an important thing to consider. If you were to be called into a mission field where safety is not guaranteed, would you be willing to go? Or is security a greater value for you? Respect, sincerity, personal growth, hard work, you know, that's a value of a lot of generational people. So you look at these kind of things. You can find other lists. I encourage you not just to look at lists and pick one or two, but to say, is this true of me? Who am I? So you start at the beginner, you create a list. Then you put similar statements together. For instance, if you get integrity and truth and honesty all together, some things like that, you try to chunk them together in some way, in a meaningful way. And then you highlight themes. What are the themes of your life? And what are the themes of what you put down on paper? And then once you've highlighted themes, you prioritize them. In other words, this is the most important thing to me. This is the second most important thing to me. This is the third most important thing to me. And try to create, you know, five or six of them. Don't try to make too many. And then you write them out. It's important that you write them out just because it gives you something to refer back to. Now, some of you who practice journaling regularly, this will become just a process. But you'll write in your journal. For the rest of us, it's got to be something that we put down. I had the privilege of, in the month of February, going through a process again where I just said, what's important to me? I'm at one of those change points in my life where I've recently retired from ministry within the congregation that I last served, and I am serving in other capacities now, but I was able to be by myself for a period of weeks, and with first brother coming and my wife joining me, but time by myself for at least 5 days at a couple of different stretches. And so I sat down with my computer and I just said, what's important to me in this next stage of my life? What are those things that I want to be lived out in my life? And then to look for opportunities to continue to serve that fit with those values of who I am now. Now, many of my values systems are ongoing, but there are some now that are changing as now my opportunity to engage more with my grandchildren is just a reality because I now have the time to do that. And so they've become a higher priority for me than they were. So you write it out, and then you put them to the test. Is this real? Is this true? If you're married, you can do this with your wife. If you're not married, you can do it with a close friend. Saying, you know, look, I'm trying to define what's really important to me in my life and behavior. Does this look really important to me, these values? So test them out, and then look at how you live them out. In other words, begin to make life plans based on that value system that you have discovered. For instance, here's one person's value system statement, part of it. So his ranked value number one is health and well-being. And he scored all of his values, you know, 1 to 10 in order to prioritize them. And this one came up as an 8. And so when did he do this? Well, on 1/2016, what are the action steps? To practice conscious breathing every morning. That was one action step. This has become one of my values. I realized that I'd gotten out of physical conditioning when I was engaged in active ministry, and so I begin my morning with devotions and time with God, and then I spend some time exercising. Two, learning and growth. This person scored an 8. In other words, as he scored all of his values, this is important to him. And so he's going to read 2 books a month. Integrity, honesty is important to him. And so he's going to do shadow work exercises every night. In other words, the shadow work, that's the dark side that I talked about before. And so he's going to identify those areas in his life every night where he was tended to go off into the shadow side of his experiencing. Creativity, ranked as a 7. He's going to schedule time each week for creative writing. That's how he expresses his creativity. And adventure is part of his value system. And so he's going to plan a trip to South Africa. Those kind of things. You do those kind of things, and you're going to find that you're going to have a better understanding of who you are and how you act. You'll have a process by process for making decisions as you compare your opportunities to the values that you hold. And you'll understand how the organization in which you fit relates to you and how you relate to it as a leader, so that you will be leading out of a value system that corresponds to the value system of the church. Not exactly, necessarily, but you can still be a leader in that kind of situation. Now, you know, just an example of that, the church I served in Southern California was a upper middle class church as far as the value system there. They had grown up, the kids had grown up with a certain level of wealth in their life. Some of the people in the church were very wealthy and had control of a lot of money. And I grew up in a blue collar, my father worked in a factory all of my life that I can remember. And so my value system reflected that frugality and not any kind of opulence in our experience. And so I wondered when I first got the call there whether I could serve that kind of congregation. And I had conversations with people there. And in some cases, I had to adjust my value system to fit in with the church value system. But also, I had an impact on the church value system as well. And so it goes both ways, but once you understand what you're committed to, out of your background, out of your experience, out of your life, what God has called you to be, it's going to impact your leadership in a positive way.